Hello, my friends. It's Bill Allen coming to you from downtown Tyler, Texas. Welcome to our Thursday edition this week of our Facebook Bible studies. We are working through the Daily Bible in chronological order. It is a wonderful daily Bible reading tool, Bible study tool, compiled by F. Ligard Smith, reading through the Bible in a year. And I hope you're following along with that. If you're not, that's okay. If you want to catch up, remember, always read today's reading first, and then if you need to catch up whenever you can. But that way you won't get further behind, and we're still going through the Old Testament. We're in the time of the Kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel has been taken over by the Assyrians. They have destroyed the city of Samaria, their capital, and have overtaken it and have transplanted a lot of people from other nations into the northern kingdom, the northern tribes area of Israel. And that's where we get the Samaritans that had so much conflict in the days of Jesus and the early church with the Christians there. So you may want to take a listen to the lesson from this past Tuesday if you didn't get a chance to catch that. It gives you some historical perspective on where the Samaritans came from. Remember, Jesus told a parable about the Samaritan. And, of course, Philip went preaching through the area of Samaria. Jesus had an interaction with a Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. All of that goes back to what we looked at this past Tuesday in the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel. And the threats that are now being posed to the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah's capital is Jerusalem. It's the two faithful tribes to the line of David, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. And those two tribes made up the kingdom of Judah. And a descendant of King David was on the throne, and that was Rehoboam after Solomon died, his son. And at this time, now, it is Hezekiah, the son of King Ahaz. And Hezekiah, descendant of David, is on the throne. And that's where we kind of pick it up, starting in our lesson that we're going to be looking at in Isaiah and 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. So hello to my friends, Cindy and Eric Mosley. And I think it's good for us to just get right to it. I've been able to do some preaching on some of the stories that we're going to be hearing about today here at West Irwin Church of Christ recently in this series on powerful prayers that I'm doing. We read a couple of prayers from King Hezekiah. Also, a Wednesday night summer series message that I was able to give in Longview at the Alpine Church of Christ this past month. And so that was a blessing as well. But now it is coming up in our daily Bible reading. And so we're going to be primarily in 2 Kings 18 through 20, 21 or so, and Isaiah 36 through 38, and the 2 Chronicles chapter 32 as well deals with some of this. So historically, where we are is we're in the 8th century B.C., right around 700 B.C., so getting close to that time when we go from the 700s to the 600s, the 8th century to the 7th century B.C. But Isaiah's been preaching a while. He's going to be preaching a while longer. The northern kingdom of Israel is no more. The Samaritans are now there. This new batch of people, kind of half-breed, part Jew, part pagan, from the king of Assyria's dealings. And now the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, is threatening the southern kingdom of Judah and Hezekiah, their king, and Jerusalem, its capital. He has attacked all the fortified cities of Judah leading up to Jerusalem, and now he's going to be challenging them as well. But for the moment, Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18 take some of the riches from the treasury and from the temple and sends it to Sennacherib to try to pay him off, to pay tribute. And that just buys him a little bit of time, but it doesn't cure the whole issue. And so in 2 Kings 20 and 2 Chronicles 32 and Isaiah 38, all three of those passages deal with these stories about King Hezekiah. The first one we'll look at has to do with his own personal health. 2 Kings 20, the prophet Isaiah goes to King Hezekiah and says this: "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover." The king had become ill, and now Isaiah is sent with this message from the Lord: put your house in order. You've heard that statement before, right? We've heard it before. And this is where it comes from. God sends a message to King Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah, goes to the palace area, and he goes to King Hezekiah, and he says, put your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to get over this illness that you have. Well, what do you do when you are up against the wall? What do you do when you get news like that? What do you do when the doctor says it's cancer? What do you do when the family says we can't work this out? What do you do when the boss says, well, we're having to lay off some people and I'm afraid you're one of them? What do you do when you're up against the wall? Well, you do what Hezekiah did. Scripture goes on in 2 Kings 20 and says, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed. What do you do when you're up against the wall? You turn your face to the wall and you pray. It's almost like you can see Hezekiah hearing the word from Isaiah, put your house in order, you will die, you will not recover. And as Hezekiah is backed up against the wall, he just turns around and faces the wall. I can see him just kneeling down right there and praying. And that's what he does. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And Isaiah reports more of Hezekiah's prayer, but this is what happens next in 2 Kings 20. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. And you can see Isaiah walking around in the palace area, and then he goes to Hezekiah and he says, put your house in order, you will die, you will not recover. Isaiah leaves where the king was. The king turns his face to the wall and prays and weeps, and God says to Isaiah, whoop, hold on, 180, let's go back to Hezekiah, I've got another message for him. And Isaiah does that, and he goes back and he says, well, God has heard your prayer. And he's seen your tears, and he's going to add 15 years to your life. What's more, God gives Hezekiah a sign. The sign is that the shadow on this sundial in Hezekiah's day typically goes one direction when the sun is going up or down, but this time it's going to reverse directions. I don't think that means that God stopped the sun from ascending or descending, or that he caused time to stop or go back. I don't think it's a Marty McFly and Doc in a DeLorean kind of situation. But I do believe that this sign was for Hezekiah only. And he saw that, and it was an amazing thing. And it was a guarantee from the Lord that I am actually going to do this. And sure enough, he did. In Isaiah chapter 38, Hezekiah pours out his heart in thanksgiving and prayer to God. Excuse me. And so Hezekiah talks about that, and he says in Isaiah 38, the Lord will save me, and we will sing all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. Later on, Hezekiah becomes proud again, and God's wrath comes on him, but Hezekiah repents. And the people of Jerusalem repent, and the Lord forgives. We're going to see that in a great way next week with Hezekiah's son, King Manasseh. After that, you would think that Hezekiah would be wiser and appreciative and show good judgment, but he does show poor judgment in one instance. There are some envoys from Babylon reported in 2 Kings 20 and in Isaiah 39. The king of Babylon sends some envoys and gives Hezekiah letters and a gift, and Hezekiah is really feeling his oats. He's feeling, again, very proud. And so he takes them on a tour in his palace, and he shows them everything, everything. And Isaiah goes to King Hezekiah, and he says, what's up with this? Did you hold anything back? What did they see in your palace? And King says, I didn't hold anything back. I showed them everything. And Isaiah tells him in 2 Kings 20 and in Isaiah 39, well, here's the deal. It's the Assyrians are not going to be your enemy. God is going to deliver you from them. But after you're gone, your descendants will be overtaken by the Babylonians. And that's exactly what we see happening in around 605 BC, in about 100 years or so from the time that Hezekiah is seeing all of this. Well, in 2 Chronicles 32, about that time, Sennacherib again comes and invades Judah, and he lays siege to all those cities, and he is going to challenge Jerusalem as well. Isaiah and Hezekiah encourage the people in Jerusalem, be strong and courageous. They say, do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And we're reminded of something that is told in 1 John. John records in 1 John, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. A similar message was given to the people of Judah by Isaiah and by King Hezekiah. But Sennacherib's commander, the Rabshakeh, some think that's a name, it sounds more like it's a title, and he threatens the people of Judah and Jerusalem, and he tells them, look, don't rely on Egypt because they're nothing before my great king. Don't rely on your God because all of the other gods, they didn't help. They didn't save their people either. And didn't Hezekiah tear down a bunch of altars to your God? Well, that's not exactly true. Hezekiah did lead great reforms, but it was against the false gods and the false altars, the high places, the places of idol worship in the land of Judah. It wasn't to the Lord a God, to Yahweh, to Jehovah, the God of Israel, but rather it was the places of worshiping false gods. But the king of Assyria, of course, doesn't realize that. He thinks all gods are man-made. And so he says, didn't your king destroy the places of worship? But that's not the case. That's not the case. And the official from King Sennacherib says, who of all the gods of these other nations that my predecessors destroyed has been able to save his people from me? How can your God deliver you? And then he says, even your God told me to come do this. Well, the God of Israel certainly was wanting to punish his people, including those in Judah, especially those in the northern kingdom of Israel. But that doesn't mean that this man is doing right, and it doesn't mean that he is meant to destroy Jerusalem. Well, as they're going back and forth, there are people that are listening to all of this, and the field commander, the Rabshakeh, this official of King Sennacherib, is speaking in Hebrew. And the officials of King Hezekiah say, look, don't speak to us in Hebrew. Everybody can understand that. Just speak to us in Aramaic. We understand that. That's the language of your people. And but the field commander says, no way. They need to hear this too. And so he continues in Hebrew and continues to challenge them and to threaten them. And yet the people remain strong. They don't answer him because the king had told them, don't answer, don't reply, don't do any of that. And so now the message comes to King Hezekiah of all of these threats. And so he starts to mourn in the tradition of the Jews, tears his clothes, puts on sackcloth and ashes, goes to the temple of the Lord and prays. And Isaiah comes to him and he says, look, Tell your master that this is what's going to happen. This man that has blasphemed me, not just King Hezekiah, but the Lord, he's going to get his. He's going to hear a rumor, he's going to leave, and everything's going to be okay. Well, that's exactly what happens. But before he leaves, he sends another message to King Hezekiah. He writes him a letter, and he sends this message, and he tells him, look, don't think that your God is going to deliver you any more than the gods of the other countries delivered them. And so he sends that letter to Hezekiah, and in 2 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 14, and in 1 Chronicles and Isaiah as well, but reading from 2 Kings 19, verse 14, I love what Hezekiah does. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Don't you love that? I can just see Hezekiah getting this letter and then running to the temple and taking it and just spreading it out, just laying it out before the Lord. When you're up against the wall, turn to the wall and pray. And when you receive bad news, like Hezekiah did, lay it out before the Lord. Hezekiah does that in a very literal way. He takes that physical letter from the commander of the king of Assyria, and he goes to the temple and he lays it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, continuing in 2 Kings 19, verse 14 and 15. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim. He's talking about the Ark of the Covenant, that top piece of that wooden box overlaid with gold in between the angels. That was where the presence of the Lord actually dwelt, according to what the Israelites were told. They realized he dwelt everywhere, but in a special way, dwelt on that mercy seat, that atonement cover of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place in the temple. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim. You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. Hezekiah got it. He said, he's not ridiculing me, the king. He's ridiculing you, the one true and living God. He goes on, it is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. I love what Hezekiah does here. He doesn't pretend that everything's okay. He doesn't deny the reality of the threat. Much like Peter and John in the first century church in Acts chapters 3 and 4, when the Jewish leaders that had just crucified Jesus not long before that arrest Peter and John and threaten them and say, you got to stop preaching in the name of this guy. And they go back and they pray, Lord, they can come through on their threats. They can. We've seen it. And in the same way, Hezekiah prays to God and says, look, they have laid waste these other nations. What he's saying is true. Their gods didn't protect them, but their gods aren't gods at all. He said their gods are just made of wood and stone, fashioned by human hands, perhaps overlaid with silver or gold, but they're not God. Hezekiah's prayer goes on in 2 Kings 19. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, our God. Why is it that God does these things? Because he wants the Israelites, yes, the kingdom of Judah, those remaining in the northern tribes, he wants them to know that he is the living God, but he wants all the kingdoms of the earth to know that. That's what Hezekiah prays. And that was true in Moses' day, that's certainly true in Hezekiah's day as well. He wants everyone to know that you alone, Lord, are God. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Isaiah brings word back to Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19. I have heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. Who is it you have ridiculed and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? Talking to the king of Assyria, against the Holy One of Israel. You have ridiculed the Lord. Have you not heard? Long ago I ordained it. In days of old I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass. that you have turned fortified cities into piles of stone. God says, this is all my doing. You did this only because I didn't stop you. And then Isaiah goes on with this message from the Lord, but I know where you are and when you come and go and how you rage against me. Because you rage against me and because your insolence has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will make you return by the way you came. Isaiah goes on, once more, a remnant of the kingdom of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah is going to talk a lot about that remnant, that group that hangs in there and survives. Even after they go to exile, a remnant shall return, Scripture says. And they do after the 70 years of exile. Here, Isaiah promises that there will be a remnant of the kingdom of Judah. They will survive this. Therefore, he says, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. And then the scripture goes on, 2 Kings 19, 2 Chronicles 32, Isaiah 37. All record, that night the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew, just as God said that he would. And when he goes back home, his sons conspire against him and take his life. All Judah and the people of Jerusalem are saved. And they all honor King Hezekiah like no one had been honored before. There were a lot of unrighteous kings, but Hezekiah was not one of them. Hezekiah was a righteous king. And this is what the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 33. Hezekiah rested with his ancestors when he died and was buried on the hill where the tombs of David's descendants are. All Judah and the people of Jerusalem honored Hezekiah when he died. Scripture says Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. Was Hezekiah perfect? No, we've already established that. He wasn't perfect, but he was faithful. And when he was called out by the Lord or by Isaiah the prophet because of his sins, he repented. And when he was up against the wall, he turned to the wall and prayed. And God added 15 years to his life. When he received a threatening letter, he went to the temple and laid it out before the Lord. He spread it out before the Lord. And he acknowledged the truth that was there. But he also acknowledged that the power of God was greater than any power on earth, including the king of the world power of Assyria. I don't know what you're going through today, my friend, but I can tell you this. God is with you. He loves you. And he's there for you. Just as he was there for the king of Assyria. Just as he was there for the king of Judah, rather. King Hezekiah. Just as he was there to punish the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, he is going to be there for you. It's wonderful to see such an incredible person listening in to this lesson. And it's my brother Grady, and I love you so much. And you have been in my heart and in my prayers constantly. And Grady has been fighting his own battle, and I know these words, and you're very familiar with this story. Grady could preach it better than I ever could. But Grady, you've lived it. And you're such an inspiration. You and Karen, we love you so, so much. And there are so many people that have told you they're praying for you. And I can tell you there are so many others, countless others, that are doing just that. What do you do when you're up against the wall? You turn to the wall and you pray. What do you do when you receive all of those threats, bad news, You lay it out before the Lord. And you turn it over to the Lord. And God will be with you, just as he was with Hezekiah. I pray that you will feel the Lord's presence with you today and every day. God bless.